I started the lessons over on January 1st. I haven't done this in a lot of years. Who knows, maybe it'll be my last, but I've got some questions for our fearless leader, and I'm only on lesson 5.
Yes. Well, I do read Ken Wapnick's.
Yeah, I do too. I've got that in front of me.
And, you know, it's even more helpful now because I understand more things. I mean, I believe I understand more things, right? But, I mean, I do have more of a, it'll be holistic totally, 100% at some point, but it's becoming more holistic, all the different aspects for me.
You strike me as a very deep soul. I'm quite sure that you understand it better than you used to once upon a time.
Yes.
I have no doubt.
Yeah, when I first started, when you all were talking about cause and effect, I was totally confused. You know, we'd be reading a thing. Of course, it was very, it was in just a simple focus context, right?
It was out of context, right.
So for me, I didn't know all the other things that led up to that. So I was going, I remember asking about, I don't understand what this, but so that's a simple example. And I am starting the lessons again, too. So this will be the third time. The first time I did not 100% do it. Second time this last year, I would say 95%. This year, I hope to 100% do it every day faithfully.
I had a similar experience, right? At first, I did it, and then I tapered off, and then I did it better. And
yes.
Now this time, I wanna do it, and I want to have a sense internally that I really did it well, you know? That there's no regrets, or I could have done it differently. It's interesting. You've got the Eastern background, so you'll understand I come in from the Buddhist angle as well as the Christian, mm-hmm. and so with Buddhism, you've got this two-sided coin to enlightenment. The one side is, of course, compassion for all living creatures, the suffering of all creatures. You want to alleviate their needless suffering. Mm-hmm. With compassion, so that's half the coin. But then the other side of the coin is the intellectual part, and that's the understanding of emptiness. You know, that there's nothing that exists from its own side mm-hmm. without you being there to compare it to something else.
Yes.
And so Jesus, in these five lessons, I was going to point out to Andrew, he doesn't start out with the compassion lessons. He starts out with the emptiness lessons.
Yes.
And the compassion is generally considered to be the easier side of that coin, two-sided coin to learn, at least for Westerners. Mm-hmm. You know, what do you mean nothing exists? Of course something exists. I'm tapping on my computer screen. Don't tell me it's not there. You know, here's my hand. Look, you know, let me stomp on it. You know, it hurts, right? Don't tell me it's not there. And yet right away today, I mean, there's no hierarchy of illusions. I'm writing in my notes. You know, mm-hmm. they're all the same because they're all untrue.
Yes.
You don't allow any illusion to upset you.
Well, that's right.
And there are no small upsets. They're all equally disturbing to my peace of mind. It's either or. You're either at peace or you've got something bothering you. But there's no small, you know.
That's why in the introduction he tells people, even if you can't believe it or whatever, just do them.
Just plow through.
Yes, that's why that has to be there, because it's so shocking to a new student.
And it is. And part of the reason I love The Course in Miracles so much is because it dovetails so beautifully into what Mahayana Buddhism in particular has to teach about the nature of the physical world. About emptiness of things. Well, what does it mean to say empty? That's really a bad translation into English. You know, voidness, or the fact that something cannot exist all by itself. It only exists if there's a second thing for it to be in relationship with.
Yeah.
And then you're instantly into duality. If you've got something to compare it to. So, you know, the five skandhas, the five baskets, the heaps, you know, the senses, the doorways, you know, sight, sound, hearing, smell, taste, touch, and then the internal world. So they go six.
Mm-hmm.
And if you if you're taking in information through any of those heaps, those piles, then you instantly know, boom, you're into duality and it's an illusion. It's untrue.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a little subtlety here that I hope we all can see through. And that is, like Tim was saying, you can't say it isn't real because I can touch it. And then a few sentences later, he's describing, if you perceive it, it's not real. And so, you know, there's room for confusion there, but where we're going is if you perceive it as other, it's not real. Oneness is true. Oneness is the spiritual perspective, and duality is the material or non-spiritual or ego or wrong-minded perspective.
And then today, Andrew, I'm going, okay, well, you know, lesson four, not even my thoughts, okay, have the virtue of being real from their own side, because guess what? They change too. Rule of thumb, if it changes, it's illusion.
Very good.
It's part of what's untrue. And so I come to this absurd conclusion at the end of today's studying, when I'm thinking, okay, my hand is just as unreal as the pen. There's no hierarchy of illusion there, right? I'm going to give up my pen to you more easily than I am going to chop off my hand and hand that over. That said,
nice.
Okay. I realize that under analysis, my hand goes away as well. It becomes veins and skin and cells, and they become atoms, and they become void. And then and it just goes away from its own side. Unless you have something else to compare it to, it's simply not there.
Very good.
So I find myself in the strange position of being my own executioner.
Wait, you could only kill something that was alive.
Right. Okay. So I am my own executioner of that which was only an illusion in the first place anyway.
Right. Okay, Mickey Mouse, can you kill Mickey Mouse?
Yeah. I did when I was about six, and the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus went with them.
And yet they made more cartoons after you were six.
They did. Right. There was Felix the Cat. Okay, I'm dating myself here. but I'm having fun because this was really giving me, you know, I'm working it.
Yes, sir, you are.
Working it. And then I wind up with, you know, there is no hierarchy of illusions. They're all the same because they're all untrue. Do not allow illusions to upset you. And then I love the bit about the distress. If you're feeling distressed, stop, back up, take a deep breath, undistress yourself, and then move forward at a pace that doesn't cause you to feel like you're distressed, because only then will you be able to keep it up. At least that's true for me.
And Tim, I want to reemphasize for 2023 that I think that your vector, a door that you'll go through for awakening, will be space. And when you saw that the pencil in your hand were at the same order, and you looked a little closer and you realized that the pencil in your hand are actually made up of the same fundamental units. I mean, carbon here, carbon there, it's still carbon. Hydrogen here, hydrogen there, it's still, right?
Right.
So it's a matter of space. It's very clear to you. I mean, it's dead clear to you. With your scientific mind, and that allowed you to step back and say, well, that includes me. What I thought was me. I really do have to let it go as easily as the pencil. Now it's right. And so that's kind of an irreversible awakening. Because you caught yourself once again, and you might be willing at that point to do an even deeper surrender, and you know, and so it unfolds that way. And now you can't, if A then B. If your body and the pencil are the same order of difficulty, and you have no problem throwing the pencil out.
Then by logic, I must have no problem throwing the body out.
Yep.
By extension.
Yep. Also, please, no problem keeping the pencil. No problem keeping the body.
And Jesus isn't asking me to throw the body away at this point in time.
No, and if you felt like you had to throw the pencil away for your salvation, you would be making the pencil something and not nothing.
Red flag, right.
Exactly. You got it?
One last point, indulge me, is I lie in bed in particular in the morning and I watch the thoughts come and go, and they're nonsense thoughts. They're naked. The emperor has no clothes. Weren't there a moment before? They're not there a moment after. I barely remember what I was thinking. In fact, I can't. I said, what thought was I just thinking? And where that did that come from?
Amen,
and
brother.
Then it's gone again. And brother, that thought never existed from its own side.
It didn't mean anything.
It didn't mean anything. And it's 98% of what I think, or probably more. I'm giving myself too much credit. You know, but that is... Thoughts.
I always think the morning thoughts come from the ego.
I see them. Like I said, they're naked. So now I got two parts of the puzzle going. I got the thoughts that aren't there, and I got the space that's not there.
Yes, you have the thoughts that are not there, the space that is not there, and you have the consciousness or witness that is there.
What's that?
Yes,
I'm dead serious.
No, well, I'm pointing it out in its obviousness. This is your. The question you must ask, it's extremely personal. And you have a guide that is drawing you into asking that very question in a very personal way.
What's the question?
What am I?
Who's the observer?
Who's the observer? If the pencil's not real, the body is not real, and my thoughts about them are not real. And yet, I am here to ask, what am I?
I mean, Descartes was wrong. I think, therefore, I am. No, you think, but that doesn't prove that that the ego thoughts are there.
It sure begs the question, though, what am I?
But it begs the question, when am I?
Okay.
And that's the iron ball that's stuck halfway down, and I can't cough it up, and I can't swallow it.
Good. I've got a page for you in a minute. You come back to me, Tim, after I talk to Jacqueline. You come back to me on that. I'll show you a page. Jacqueline, what do you got?
Oh, I was just going to say a little bit on another perspective on this. When I was contemplating, meditating on thoughts, world, everything, there isn't anything that is changeable that exists. And then what came up was, well, what's left? So, and it's not, I haven't had a revelation, I mean, on what that is, but that was the question. It was just it was like an honest question in my mind or my thoughts,
yes.
You know, where it led me. Well, what's left?
Yes.
So I feel like I that question went to Holy Spirit, Jesus, and as, you know, and it has been answered maybe in little pieces of holy incense, but at some point I'll have a full revelation on that.
Yes, you will. Yes, you will, Jacqueline, and it fits neatly on, mark your next, on my circle. Reality, or truth, is you become aware of truth as you see the circle that any particular, your awareness, or your observation, or your thinking lands on. In other words, the starting place is also the finishing place. You may go through a journey of realization, but you'll always end up right where you started because of oneness. Understanding nothing is, no effect is apart from its cause. Do you see the circle? You may go very far out looking for this effect and reasons and stories and etc., but eventually you'll come right back to the cause without which the effect would not exist. It's a circle. It's extremely simple math, But it requires you to step out of duality and see the continuity or continual nature that cause and effect are not separated. And there is. There is you, there is God. There is, but it is not as it appears to be in duality in time and space. And so, I love your query, Jacqueline. If you take away all things that are ephemeral, all things that come and go, all things that change, what is left? And I'll guarantee you, you're going to end up with a little advice from Miracle Principle 17, which says that miracles... You got it? You got it? Go for it.
Miracles transcend the body. They are sudden shifts into invisibility away from the bodily level. That is why they heal.
Three huge points in that little miracle principle. And you, I believe, your query leads you to an absolute shift away from the body. I mean, the body is so temporary. OMG. Start date, finish date, that's it. And yet you are asking. You, so whatever you actually are asking. And what's left is going to be invisible. You take away everything that changes, and what's left is going to be invisible. It's a huge clue. It's why we have a spiritual meeting, and why we call this a spiritual pursuit. So beautiful, beautiful. Keep it up, and tell us, keep us up as you go along, as you start to get closer to that, and your realization comes into your mind. Mark, what do you got?
Wow. Okay. Someone said something about what am I, which sparked a meditation that I've done with Adyashanti. And you don't have to do that much meditation to realize that you're not your thoughts. So in his meditation, and it's online if anybody wants to go through it, I've done it many, many, many times. The answer to what you are cannot be answered with a thought.
No. No. So what do you answer it with?
Have you come across an answer, Mark?
I don't know if it's something that I can express with words. It's a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely an awareness,
mm-hmm,
of deep quietness.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to share that because...
No, I love it. Yeah.
I didn't want to get all deep.
We want you to get all deep.
Yeah, it's a bit late not to get too deep.
Yes, Luann.
One time when you were doing the song, I got that feeling. I think maybe the first or second time you did it in group.
The 443, the Song of Prayer?
The song is about, if you listen to it, you find, you know what, you sense the song inside of you. Something kind
nice.
Of
nice. Yes.
Song.
Thank you, Luann.
What song is that?
Yeah. Go to page 443. And I found this so beautiful. One day, I don't know. God, it could have been 15 years ago. Plus pandemic. That would be, what, 17 years ago? I was reading this in my morning reading on page 443, and I just went straight to the microphone and recorded it and then put music behind it. It is so beautiful. And it so matches the feeling, I think, that Mark is trying to...
In the text?
In the text. That Mark is trying to elucidate... It's just wonderful. Look at, it's 445. The Forgotten Song. I think I said Song of Prayer, didn't I? The Forgotten Song. And let me see if this is just sitting here. I can put my page. be that. Oh, poor God.
I was watching a movie last night when a young woman was trying to learn to do modern type of dance to win a contest, and her teacher finally got across to her. He said, let your body go and just sink into it and let it tell you what to do. And I think that's how that song affects me. It lets me get rid of the thoughts of my body in any way and just feel.
It gives you permission.
Yeah.
And it goes beyond the body quite quickly because, you know, this is Jesus inviting you to go beyond the body. And it goes beyond words because, you know, it's going to something you don't quite remember. Yeah, let me just check one more place here. Let me see if it's sitting here.
As soon as you start thinking, though, while you're doing this, you're in trouble. It doesn't work. That's why I thought of it, Mark, when you said that.
Okay. So we can do this as a little meditation to get us going. We'll play this. Thank you, Mark, for bringing this up. I liked it. And Luann.
I noticed Mark's first answer to my question was nothing.
Yes. Not with a thought.
That didn't escape me.
He said.
Oh, he answered all right. He said nothing.
Yes, yeah, nothing you can say. It's not a thought. It's right. Not. It's right. A course.
Then he embellished. Right.
Yeah. As a course says, it will not be a specific. A specific. The ego makes up a world out of specifics, like things with names and words. But the Course says that the truth has the quality of eternity. That means there is no time. The quality of infinity, which goes beyond space. So you're not going to be using these limited specific terms. That's why I like what he said. And like what Luann brought it up for us.
Okay, and Miracle Principle 17.
Yes, sir. Okay, let's go to here and share sound. Tell me if you can hear this. Right? Can you hear that okay?
Yeah.
Okay, hang in there. A little meditation.
The Forgotten Song. Listen. Perhaps you catch a hint of an ancient state, not quite forgotten, dim perhaps, and yet not altogether unfamiliar, like a song whose name is long forgotten, and the circumstances in which you heard completely unremembered. Not the whole song has stayed with you, but just a little wisp of melody. Attached not to a person or a place or anything particular, but you remember, from just this little part, how lovely was the song, how wonderful the setting where you heard it, and how you loved those who were there and listened with you. The notes are nothing, yet you have kept them with you, not for themselves, but as a soft reminder of what would make you weep if you remembered how dear it was to you. You could remember, yet you are afraid, believing you would lose the world you learned since then. And yet you know that nothing in the world you learned is half so dear as this. Listen and see if you remember an ancient song you knew so long ago and held more dear than any melody you taught yourself to cherish since. beyond the body, beyond the sun and stars, past everything you see, and yet somehow familiar, is an arc of golden light that stretches as you look into a great and shining circle. And all the circle fills with the light before your eyes. The edges of the circle disappear, and what is in it is no longer contained at all. The light expands and covers everything, extending to infinity, forever shining, and with no break or limit anywhere. Within it, everything is joined in perfect continuity. Nor is it possible to imagine that anything could be outside, for there is nowhere that this light is not. Here is the memory of what you are, a part of this, with all of it within, and joined to all, as surely as all is joined to you.
Forgotten song. It's beginning of this chapter that we're in, actually, chapter 21. It attempts to allow you to touch the invisible but certain feeling of familiarity that goes beyond your thoughts. It's before your thoughts. It's before you. It's beyond. It's so certain that it can only be known, but it can't be spoken. It's a
for me.
What's that?
For me, this time it started off feeling like a deep peace, and then it felt like I was in an area that I didn't need to think. I mean, it was like thinking was not something you did there.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a space exactly. It was just a setting. And nice. Eventually I felt like I was surrounded by everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't feel them all, but I felt like all that were around me was the spirits of everyone else.
Yeah. You know, it's a quality of love, Luann, that you feel the others and not you feel the share of the sameness. You don't notice the differences. It's invisible. Well, love is invisible.
You can only feel it. It feels like a flow of some kind of energetic force.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Yeah.
Andrew, where were you? Were you quoting some place in the book?
Yes, word for word. That's from page 445 in the text. And it's a section called The Forgotten Song.
Okay. Where does it start?
At the beginning.
Projection makes perception?
On page 445 and chapter 21, there's a section called The Forgotten Song.
Okay.
And the recording starts about paragraph 6.
Okay, that's what I was trying to get to. Okay. I get it. Yes, I recall that. Thank you.
Listen, perhaps you catch a hint of an ancient state not quite forgotten, as dim perhaps, and yet not altogether unfamiliar, like a song whose name is long forgotten, and the circumstances in which you heard it was completely unremembered. Not the whole song has stayed with you, but just a little wisp of a melody. Attached not to a person or a place or anything particular. But you remember from just this little part how lovely was the song, how wonderful the setting where you heard it, and how you loved those who were there and listened with you. It's a knowing. That's our, you know, Maya Angelou. Remember Maya Angelou?
I know why the caged bird sings.
Yes, one of the wisest things I thought she said, well, she said to me anyway in passing through all of her writings, was, you will not remember what, years later, somebody said to you, but you will remember how they made you feel.
Absolutely.
And this forgotten song, he's pointing out the specifics are not the point. Exactly where it was or the name of the song, you don't quite remember that. And even the people, you don't remember the details, but you sure remember how it made you feel. That's what Mark said, that it's a feeling. It's more of a feeling, he said, than something you could describe. That's exactly right. That's the right path. Run out of words. Good.
Not from the Course of Miracles, but from a personal experience of Leo Biscaglia. Who has everybody heard of Leo Biscaglia?
I have.
No? No?
Yeah. Well, it looks like half the group has.
Okay.
More than half.
Leo became known as the Doctor of Love, and he was a professor in Southern California, maybe USC College. Don't know what he spoke. Or what he taught. But in any event, when I came upon him, he was on TV. You know, I'm 77, and that was back in, 50 years ago, a long time ago. And he was an Italian boy, had been an Italian boy, and all these kind of, you know, ethnic kinds of cute things about wearing garlic around his neck and stuff. But he was a teacher, a professor. And at some point, in his teaching, he had classes of college-age kids. One of his students, a young woman, took her life. And it just hit him like a ton of bricks that he had not ever noticed this. He had never noticed her. And it hit him how insignificant was his, what he was teaching was, when he didn't even, hadn't even noticed this young woman and what he might have noticed had he noticed her. But in any event, that turned him, and he began, and there you look him up, Leo Buscaglia, it's all kinds of wonderful quotes, and he began to be the doctor of love, and he would talk, and just, he was a big kind of coach in a way, in his own way. But here's the thing, I loved him. I loved what I heard from him, and three decades ago, Michelle and I were in Tahoe, and we were looking for a venue, driving around, and we were kind of lost. We drove into this parking lot, and we stopped, and this old man walked near us, and I think he kind of looked, so we were a little confused. And anyway, I rolled down my window, and I asked him, could you tell us where such and such is? And actually, I don't remember what I said. All I remember is I needed direction. And he gave us direction. And that was the end of that encounter. And I didn't recognize him because he, at this point, was a really elderly looking guy. But the point is, you talk about an experience. I can't say I heard a song. But as Michelle and I drove away, we simultaneously looked at each other and said, I feel like we were just in the presence of an angel. Hmm. And then later, in one of those little newspapers you get up there that tells you what's been going on, there was a picture of him, and he was in. He lived up there, but he was also going to appear and give a talk. But anyway, it's just that presence, you know, that presence in giving us directions. that he can. He extended love. His love extended through him. Yeah. Beautiful.
There is a continuum of presence. And there are people who are so undefended and awakened otherwise that it's contagious. Yes, Tim.
If you move, you said you were at paragraph 6. If you go to 8, there is a paragraph that uses some really amazing, vivid imagery for Jesus, at least, to be talking about sun and stars and golden lights and shining circles and edges and all that kind of stuff. And there's not too many places where he goes into that kind of, you know, imagery for the student, but he does it there, and it's just, I've got an asterisk that's just, you know, beautiful imagery. So 6, yes, and in your song, and certainly, but Beyond the Body, you know, the forgotten song. So I just, that's like a piece of poetry for me.
It's beautiful. Yeah.
And by the way, if I want my doctors to get good post-visit survey scores, which they all do, I say, don't worry about your doctoring. Ask your patient what they feel like as they're going out the door.
There it is.
If they're Thank feeling you. Good, they'll be back. They'll score you highly. Yeah, I recommend my doctor to a relative. He left me feeling good. Yep. It wasn't about the medicine so much.
Very good, Tim. Yeah.
Andrew, what were you going to take us to for Tim? You said remind you wanted to take us somewhere about what Tim was talking about.
Oh yeah, thank you. Yes. Bring us back there, Tim. You were talking about the your awareness of the. Sameness of the pencil and your hand. And you were you're reconciling those. Yeah. You're reconciling those. And I wanted to invite you to follow where that goes. That the you that is your hand and the pencil are of the same level.
Well, you want to go down that rabbit hole?
No,
that's fun.
What he wanted, I think what you said was, when you get through going down that, which you did, Tim, he said, and then what are you?
Exactly.
Well, right, because you finally what happens is that everything goes away under logical analysis. You see, okay, hey, it's all carbon atoms, it's all hydrogens and all oxygen. It all came from the center of a star at some point in time.
And that's what you got. That's what you had said. And then Andrew's question was, when you get through with all that, what are you?
Well, who's observing?
Yes, and yet you are. Those things are ephemeral, and each of their protons and electrons and neutrons are shared and remixed up, right? Throughout their history, that none of them are as they appear to be, right?
But even they go away.
Even they get transferred, pure energy, so forth, right? And yet, you remain. In fact, Tim, you have gone away.
I've gone away. That's why I said I'm my own education, my own executioner. Not that I'm killing anything living or real, but that I, under my own analysis, go away.
Every 7 years, you replace pretty much every cell in your body?
Yeah, that's it. Right, that's
so,
true.
So you've gone away, and yet you remain.
Yeah.
Even in this lifetime.
Never the same from moment to moment.
Yep, I think you are the same from moment to moment.
I agree with you heartily. I don't think you can be the same from moment to moment. It's the very definition of existence.
My body is not the same from moment to moment, but I am.
Well, define I. Now we're level one, level two. And you got to be careful.
What does this sound like an argument?
I'm just saying to me.
No, no, I enjoy it. Where's my foil?
Well, they're reconciling here.
Yeah.
They're both doctors. This happens. You get these people in the room.
So, and I'm not always like this, and my apologies for being verbose tonight. I know when I'm that way. And there's no Michigan beer involved.
Don't you think that what you're trying to do by going, at least this is what I'm trying to do by going through the course. I'm trying to figure out what I am, because I don't feel like what I am is this body.
Agreed.
Okay. So I have to get past the atom stuff that you get to and say, okay, now what am I after every single one of my atoms disappears?
You don't need to know the atom stuff to get to the point where you say, who's the observer? It's not necessary for the journey.
I'm not even looking for an observer. I'm looking for what is observing the observer. I'm looking for what is making the observer.
Well, I think we're talking about the same thing.
Maybe. For me, what I am is what God made me, and the only thing God is that he could extend his love and creation. So that's what I am.
So this is a critical pondery. The most common repeated phrase in the entire book is, I am not a body. I am free. Huge clue there. Not like that's a short sentence to forget. One day it'll be all you think about. I am. F-R-E-E. What does free even mean? You spend a whole day on that. But it goes on. For another day, another meditation, I am, again, oh, that's two I ams in one phrase. But three, actually. Three I ams. And the third one is, I am as God created me. So, yeah, beautiful, beautiful there. So turn to page 660. Page 660. We looked at this last night also.
You just mean 1 6, not two of them, right?
I mean two sixes and then a zero.
Okay.
In the text. 660. It's right at the end of the text, chapter 31. He's getting ready to launch you into the workbook to start working the lessons. And the lessons are actually the work. The lessons are where you personally will start to release your stinking thinking. But he's checking here to see that you're ready. He says, I know. It's going to be a little fear for you, perhaps. He says, I got you. I got your back.
So, one thing I'd like to ask you while we're looking.
Sure.
I want to go back to your diamond metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
Where we are shards, I want to say, of a diamond.
Yeah, facets.
Facets of the diamond. Okay.
The diamond is one. Shards might be considered broken.
Okay, facets. I think that the facet that we are of God, God created me as a facet of itself, is what I am.
Amen.
And God is love, so that means I am a facet consisting of love.
I like your math.
So when we get to a point where we're all one together, then we're going to be all these facets put together as God's child, as Christ, or as God's extension.
You would simply become aware of that as your truth instead of being a shard or a separate thing at all.
Right.
You still got to be a facet, Luann. You don't change how God created you.
Well, that's where I get a little confused.
Good. Ask more.
Because God created oneness.
Yes.
As itself.
Yes.
How could oneness have facets?
That's why the analogy is so strong. Because a facet is not separate from the diamond, is it?
No. Okay. So we can have facets and still be, we can be a facet of God and be with oneness with all.
This is part of a huge awakening, my dear. And that is that indeed there are facets, but the facets are not separate. The facets are unique.
But one.
Unique. There aren't two facets that are identical because they can't be pointing to the same spot. See?
They're different gates to the same interior.
They're different gates to the same interior. Thank you, Tim. They are different gates. They're different ways that light can flow to the same one interior. Beautiful.
Okay, that makes sense.
Diamond, many, many facets.
So I don't know what God is completely. I'm not sure what God is completely. I know it's love.
Good.
It might only be love, because I think love in itself has an energy. It's kind of like what you were saying, Don, when you said you were around Pascalia, I think that's how you pronounce his name, and you turned around and you said you thought he was an angel, your angel, because probably energy of love runs through him all the time, and that's what you were feeling, because it's not just in him, it's all around him. And you were feeling that energy of love flow through you, and you tried to define it and decide it was an angel. So that's what I think we all are when we get through putting all our facets together, is the love that God has used of itself to create us.
If God is, and God is love, and you are as God created you, and as the book says, you're an extension of God, you're love. Teach love, only love, for that is what you are.
So what the book is doing for me is it trying to eliminate all the things that keep me from realizing that's all I am.
That is correct. And when you do, you will have travel on a circle, and you will find that you are on a journey without distance.
I'm just back to what I really, I'm not even back. I am what I am.
It's correct. You are what you are. It's the only way you can be certain that it's true. Because you'll say, oh my God, like this, right? Oh my God, I get it. And I am it. And I always have been. And that's the end of that. What's for lunch? Because the truth is true. It's always true. And that's the quality of truth that's different from things that aren't true.
Now, I want to go back to what God can do. Because this is where I get a little lost.
All right.
I think that God creates. Is that true?
No.
Okay, that's where I'm afraid of. Not afraid of, but that's where I thought I was getting mixed up. If God is love and all we are is love as God is.
Now, hang on.
Okay.
God is creation.
God is creation because love.
God does not create.
God is creation because
mm-hmm.
okay.
Mm-hmm.
So all God is, but is love, but God is creation.
God is not loving.
No, that's different.
Right? God is love, but God is not loving.
Loving is intense. It's embedded in time.
Yeah, I get that. So God is love and God creates. So that means love creates and we are. What are we free to do? Create? To be like God then would mean we...
I think Don gets it. Everybody go to page 660 for some clarification.
Okay, I'm there.
And now since Luann has asked a few more questions, we'll have to read one more paragraph on 660 than I originally intended. But that's what the meetings are for.
Okay.
So page 660, and first we're going to address Tim's query about dissolving himself from not only the pencil, the thoughts about his pencil mean nothing and the pencil means nothing, but his hand, which is very intimate to him, also means nothing, and his thoughts about his hand mean nothing, and it all kind of disappears, and yet he still exists. So that's preparing. That's the kind of thing that the workbook is just bringing you with 660 pages to get you to where his head is, and you'd be comfortable with paragraph 17. And so, Jacqueline, would you read paragraph 17 for us? I got your mute.
Is this the workbook?
Well, this is in the text.
Okay.
This is chapter 31.
Oh, I get it. I'm sorry. I got it.
Okay, good.
My mistake. I was confused.
No problem. Okay. Well, everybody on the bus. Okay. Jacqueline, go for the entire paragraph 17.
Okay. And this whole section is titled Self-Concept versus Self. Okay, I just was curious.
No, I love it. Self-Concept
versus Self.
Versus Self. That is a good title. Yeah. I never got clarification. Tim, did you, when you read up on Journey Without Distance, maybe it's in there about the titling?
I don't know.
Because I think Bill and Ken and Helen sat together and came up with the titles, and they asked Jesus for each section, what should this title be? And they all focused, and it came down to these titles, but I'm not sure about that. I might have just made that up. But okay. The titles, I don't think the titles were dictated to her. Okay, go for it, Jacqueline.
Oh, yeah, now I understand what you're saying. No, they weren't dictated.
The section breaks and the titles were added later.
And the capitalizations and so on.
Yeah. It's so interesting. The whole thing is so interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, we digress a bit. Jacqueline, please bring us back in.
Okay. The world can teach no images of you unless you want to learn them. There will come a time when images have all gone by. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And you will see you know not
what you are.
Just like what Tim was describing with the pencil in the body.
It is to this unsealed and open mind that truth returns, unhindered and unbound. Where concepts of self, little self, have been laid by...
This reminds me of Mark. When Mark was taking us through a bit about his many, many, many meditations about the I am. And he said he just started laying by, laying, just setting aside concepts and just letting go of these specifics. Please continue.
Where concepts of the self have been laid by, is truth revealed exactly as it is. When every concept has been raised to doubt and question and been recognized as made on no assumptions that would stand the light, then is the truth left free to enter in the sanctuary, clean and free of guilt.
And could you please look at that sentence you just read and tell us which sanctuary is made available by open-mindedness?
Truth. Sanctuary of truth.
Yes. Yes. Truth's own sanctuary is made available to you. Do you see the circle? Please reread that whole sentence just so we can enjoy that.
When every concept has been raised to doubt and question and been recognized as made on no assumptions that would stand the light, then is the truth left free to enter in its sanctuary, clean and free of guilt. There is no statement that the world is more afraid to hear than this. I do not know the thing I am, and therefore do not know what I am doing, where I am, or how to look upon the world or myself.
Reminds me of Tim showing us his pen and his hand. He says, hey, I think you guys get this. Now I'm looking at this too, right? He was like just on display there. I love it. Took us right to his meditation. Please continue.
Yet in this learning is salvation born, and what you are will tell you of itself.
Yet in this learning is salvation born. Now the next sentence is deep. And capital W.
W, yeah.
Right? What you are, not who you are, what you are will tell you of. That's a very big word, of. Don't just go blasting past it. It's only two letters. It will tell you. Well, what's it going to, how is it going to tell me? What's going to be the content? What's going to, how is it going to fill me in? Well, it will do it of, capital I, itself. Short sentence, a lot of information.
Can I tell you something funny?
Sure.
When we got together last Monday, I got into where I was with you on lesson 30. And somehow when I read this, I wrote lesson 30 on it.
Nice. Nice. Good, good, good. Okay, let's go a step further now to address Luann's inquiry. Tim, when you're ready, would you read for us paragraph one, same page, recognizing the spirit, that word, recognizing, recognizing, bringing back to thought, or thinking once again. Kind of like the forgotten song, no less. Go for it, Tim.
I was thinking cognate, to give a name to. Recognizing the spirit. You see the flesh or recognize the spirit. Recognize the spirit. There's no compromise between the two. If one is real, the other must be false. For what is real denies its opposite.
Okay, now hold on right there, because that applies directly to the work that we're going to do tonight in our reading. there's a logical imperative. In other words, it's all or nothing. It's one or the other. It's mutually exclusive. One or the other. And in order for you to recognize spirit, you really do have to devote yourself, like I think Mark was talking about, and where he got to in his many, many, many meditations on I am. He said, I had to let go. He says, I can't use words because words are the wrong direction, more or less.
Words imply by definition duality, and Mark is stepping away from duality.
Yep, words are specific.
Yeah.
So please reread that sentence for us so we can enjoy it.
Okay. If one is real, the other must be false, for what is real denies its opposite. There is no choice in vision but this one. What you decide in this determines all you see and think is real and hold is true.
Okay, now, Luann, this is for you. Because your identity is shifting through your work. And you have become aware that it's really important. You want to know. You want to get an idea of what you are. And the reason why is because you know, as this book has trained you, everything you think and perceive and know to be true comes through the filter of what you are.
On this one choice does all your world depend. For here, you have established what you are, as flesh or spirit, in your own belief. If you choose flesh, you will never escape the body as your own reality, for you have chosen that you want it so. But choose the spirit, and all heaven bends to touch your eyes and bless your holy sight, that you may see the world of flesh no more, except to heal and comfort and to bless.
So direct, so inviting. And it's so powerful all the way up here in page 660. It's still giving at 110%. Tim, read for us just the three-word sentence on the next paragraph.
Salvation is undoing.
Salvation is undoing. Now that's A Course in Miracles. We're just undoing the playful blocks you have put between yourself and the awareness of love as your truth. Mark, would you read for us on the next page, paragraph 6, just to finish up before we go to our regular reading? On page 661.
Are you invulnerable? Or the next page?
No, you got it. Are you invulnerable? You got it.
Oh, okay. Are you invulnerable?
And if you are, then...
Yeah. Then the world is harmless in your sight.
That would change the whole world of danger, of loss, of death. If you, and when you come to the I am, and I am invulnerable, I can't be hurt. Well, we just finished reading how that can happen if you go into spirit. And away from, it's either flesh or spirit. Jesus just said on the previous page, one or the other. When you get to spirit, please continue.
Do you forgive? Then is the world forgiving, for you have forgiven it its trespasses. And so it looks on you with eyes that see as yours. Are you a body? So is all the world perceived as treacherous and out to kill.
This is the other side of the coin. If you ever wonder, why is it I have such a hard time reading the news? It's Mark telling you. Please continue.
Are you spirit, deathless and without the promise of corruption and the stain of sin upon you? So the world is seen as stable, fully worthy of your trust, a happy place to rest in for a while, where nothing need be feared, but only loved. Who is unwelcome to the kind in heart, and what could hurt the truly innocent?
And so that truth emanates from one who knows it to be true, like the person Don ran into that he calls an angel. It's a beautiful thing. He says, the world is seen as stable, fully worthy of your trust, a happy place to rest in for a while, where nothing need be feared, but only loved.
Hmm. Andrew?
Yeah.
I don't want to interrupt you. I have a continuing, but I want to interject at some point.
No, interject. I was just going to finish the paragraph, but it's just as kind in heart, some more pretty words, truly innocent, some more pretty words. These things are contagious when they're true. When they're true. I mean, you just, your face reflects it, your shoulders reflect it. You don't have the grit of surviving, of survival, that the threat of survival is not carried on your shoulders. Mm-hmm. Okay, Don, go for it.
Okay, so you kind of briefly interjected. That's why, so you can see why it's so difficult to watch the evening news. Well, would it be true that I could watch the evening news with all, from the point of view of the ego mind, and it is treacherous and scary and troublesome, but I could watch the same content through spirit, and it would all, I would just feel love. And because,
remember, translation occurs.
Yeah. So the truth, I would perceive the truth behind the lie my senses would tell me, and my identification with my mind and my body would tell me. Wow, that would be really nice.
And I just want to add, I just want to mess with the words a little bit.
Okay.
You know the truth. You perceive the lies, but you know the truth.
Yeah, but it's what I'm saying, it's an experience. It's like, mm-hmm. I'm not thinking about making it different. Mm-hmm. I have gotten, by grace or whatever, that just I'm just feeling love, you know?
Yeah.
And you said a moment ago, the love is extended because I really am not just theoretically understanding, but I am experiencing God is right there, right in the midst of what might be perceived as chaos and fear. And,
yes, sir.
Okay.
That's your truth.
Yeah.
Just like when you're watching a movie and you can see horrific things on the screen, but they don't go in. Because you know it's a movie. All these people got paid a lot, and they're going to show up for the sequel. The ones that apparently died, they're going to star in something else. You know this. So a translation is occurring real time. When and as you use your right mind, your right perception, as you're describing, you feel the love because it is all lovely. It is all made from love. Everything is come from the same source.
So I guess what I want to kind of, you know, look back at myself, right? A little while earlier in our meeting, and Luann and Tim were having a conversation, and I was feeling uncomfortable, and I perceived an argument. I even said, I think, why am I hearing an argument here? And there was a part of me even then that realized it's because of how I'm looking. It's because I'm judging, and I mean that mind. I mean, I've chosen the mind of the ego to see. To say I've chosen, I'm really not at the place so much, I wouldn't say, where I really consciously choose. It happens, you know, it's like it's just happening that I'm judging. And then I have that feeling of discomfort. I think the value of expressing the discomfort is the value is gained by sharing the reaction, mm-hmm. which is a lie of lie, thereby exposing it to the light. And we're in a meeting where everybody is a little bit more available.
Everybody's a little more available.
Mm-hmm. You know,
and you get to bust. You get to bust your ego on screen, and all of us are busting our egos along with you.
Yeah, and every time it's like just a little bit more purification of the mind that makes miracles possible.
That's it.
It's really a dark. You know, there's a lot of self-righteousness in my, you know, in my holster, so to speak.
Yeah.
And of which I'm not always aware, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm grateful for this opportunity. Thank you, Isla. Thank you. I feel love.
You have a 77-year-old room that not long ago, all the doors and windows were closed and it was very dark.
Yes.
There is a door open way on the other end and it's light. And your attention continues to return to that light. Even though you turn toward the darkness from here and there, but you know if you turn so slightly, you can spot the light. That's your Course in Miracles. That's your devotion that is showing clearly. And you keep moving toward that light, Don. You are doing it. Thank you.
And I don't know about, I do know about Don because you just told me, and he told me, but it's absolutely true for me too. I'm still in a dark room. I have one or two or three maybe windows open with some light, mm-hmm. but I'm trying to figure out what that light is.
Yeah. What do you got, Emily?
I really appreciated the song. Oh my goodness, it was so amazing and rich. The golden light, the circle, how the edges expanded until there was no more circumference. It was so powerful. And what it reminds me of what Don was saying about, and Luann, about how, you know, like, okay, there's suffering. We can look at suffering and stay in the suburbs, you know, on the edges. But when we're fully extending love and in that witness, you know, spirit viewing, it's as if we could just go downtown with that suffering, you know, and it's not going to harm us. It's like we're with it instead of resisting. And it's not being, for me, it didn't feel like Don and Luann was saying that's a problem. The suffering becomes more like just a way of another way. How can I say that? It's like a way that we can just be without it being a problem. I kind of lost now.
How about these words? We can just be in the world, but not of the world.
Yeah.
Perceiving pain and seeing fully the invitation to suffer over it. But as you are not certainly the pencil, you're also not the thing that's made up of the same stuff as the pencil. So if the pencil seem to be suffering, you wouldn't feel it. You break the pencil, you don't feel it. This is to transcend the material and move your identity toward the spiritual, toward the eternal, toward the infinite. It is indeed a transcendence, and you described it very nicely, Emily. Right as you ran out of words, which was perfect.
So when Jesus says in the book, he says more or less, he says, you will heal the sick and raise the dead. Is he speaking figuratively or?
You forget the last second half of that sentence. You will heal the sick and raise the dead because you yourself made sickness and death.
Yes.
You see the circle?
So I've forgiven the world. I've forgiven how I've made up that world.
Well, at least you're forgiving that the world is a creation. Forgiving that the world is true. Forgiving that the world, you must be a victim to the world. No, if you made up the world, you're not a victim to what you made up.
You can think you are a victim, but you're not.
You can.
Because you chose it.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I'm trying to get how if I'm walking along, mm-hmm. and there's a dead body,
mm-hmm.
and I am not identified with my body and mind,
mm-hmm.
then just as Leo Biscaglia basically was his mind and body communicated God, extended God. That's why it was angelic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
With just mundane words. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm sure they were mundane words, right?
Mm-hmm.
Directions. So, but in the case of the dead body,
mm-hmm.
wouldn't then that body, couldn't just as Jesus healed, literally did he bring a body back to life? Isn't that what Jesus is saying?
Jesus is going to a higher representation of life than that one body going back to alive.
Yeah.
You are invited by that passage you read to recognize that you also can translate what the ego had said would be a loss with a dead body. You can translate it into a neutral event because the body did not contain life.
Right.
You see? The ego says it does. The ego says that life somehow got into the body from somewhere. The ego doesn't explain how or where, but that it carried by the body for a while. And then when the body somehow life was lost. Doesn't say where the life came from, but it does say that it got lost when the...
So you will see no loss.
Right?
We'll see no loss. And then what's going to happen there with that physical body and the light that was working through it?
Yes. Good question. Natural question. Let's answer it.
Where's the light?
Let's answer it. The answer is actually in your question if you completed the circle. The body that's dead on the pavement, every single molecule of that body came from something else that was living, right? You are what you eat is kind of an interesting sentence. It's true. But These plants and animals that lived were converted into the body, the physical body, and they will continue. They will continue immediately. It's already happening. They continue to be converted into some other life. It's happening as soon as the guy died, right? The body was being digested by the environment immediately. Those little bugs are so happy. His immune system's failing. It's like, yes, we can take over here. We can move into this apartment house.
water started evaporating molecules began to break.
Well, you know, it makes me also, it also makes me think of my friend Govinda, who's had an out of body, you know, like what do you call it when you've had a
reincarnation?
He came back to life. He was you know, out of it. But also later on, his mother died. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, at some point, it wasn't connecting to events, but just to give you an idea of Govinda, he said, "Mom," in prayer, so to speak, "Mom, where are you?" And he heard her say, "I am everywhere."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Has everybody seen the Jill Bolte Taylor 10-minute YouTube? Write this 10 minutes. Write this down. It's just wonderful. Jill, BOLTETAYLOR. Jill Bolte Taylor.
Say that, spell it again. BOLT.
BOLTEY. And then Taylor, TAYLOR. Jill Bolte Taylor. And it's called Stroke of Insight. She had a stroke where she lost half of her brain. She's a brain scientist.
She's
a neurologist, right?
She's a neurologist, and she lost one of her hemispheres. She lost the analytical hemisphere.
Couldn't dial the phone.
She saw the phone, but she didn't know what the numbers were for. Dial for help. She knew she needed help, but the numbers made absolutely no sense to her. She had a business card of a cardiologist right on her desk, and she looked at it, and none of the symbols meant anything because she lost that half of her brain. And it's only 10 minutes. It's amazing. She beautifully packs in her description of this experience, and at one point she says what you said, which is she realized she was everywhere. She put her hand on the wall at the hospital, and her fingers and the tile were one, clearly. It was very relaxing for her, very relaxing for her. And then she started to realize, well, I could never fit in this body. I can't come back. I can't fit in this little thing. It's just a wonderful 10 minutes.
You know what's interesting to me? It's like because Jesus is in, where the teaching says, you know, you have this taste of love, but you're inclined to kind of go get back. I want to get back.
Back to specifics.
Right. And so this woman, that's what she did. I mean, she rebuilt her whole, she began to rebuild the life she'd made up. But probably it was different, but it's interesting how she could have said, you know, I'm out of here. I like this idea. But apparently, was she afraid? Did she describe how it was? She all of a sudden felt afraid when she couldn't understand anything.
Your friend went back to what she believed would make her safe, Don.
Yes. Yeah.
And we're learning with the Course in Miracles that everything you believe would make you safe is actually what brings your fear about.
Exactly.
Tim, what do you got?
So as soon as I stop identifying with my hand, my pencil, as me, when it comes, quote, time to die, unquote. And yes, I understand the Course's quote about there. In no one moment do you actually die. I hold that in place. But it makes giving up the body, it makes the dying process a whole lot less scary because you're letting go of something you've been practicing all your life to let go of anyway. And so it's like, well, this isn't costing me anything. I didn't believe in it, I got over believing in this a while back. You know what I'm saying? Okay.
That's right. That's amen, Tim. It takes away the fear of death. It makes the passing easier. It also makes it easier to stay. This body can be so hard to live in. But when you get to this realization that you're talking about, it's also easier to stay too. Yes, Luann, what do you got? Hang on a sec. Let me get your mute. Okay, go for it.
At my age, both my parents, my grandparents, I only have one person in my family that's the same level in my lineage. But when my mother and father died, when my brother died, when my grandfather died, I had a little bit of a tear, but I don't
really miss them because I know as soon as I think about them, they're there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like their spirit is always going to be around me. Mm-hmm. I don't have to worry about them being gone because they're not.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think about myself is my kids and grandkids and, you know, whatever, anybody who knows me, if soon, all they have to do is think about me and I'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm there. All they have to do is recognize that I'm there.
That's a good thing to realize that the people that will die in your life, lots of people you know will die or already have died. But as you sit now and they're not in your house now, when they were alive, they weren't in your house all the time either. And the level of exposure to them is exactly the same, whether they're dead or not there in the same room.
My mother, and she feels like she's still there.
It's a good door to go through. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's really reassuring when you get to be my age that people are going to, in some way, if they're open to the idea of it, know that I'm there.
Yes. Yep. That's correct. Yeah, you certainly don't know the thing that you are, and you certainly don't know when you actually began, and you won't know when you actually end because you don't end. The back of the book says, it has a short little three pages, says, is reincarnation real? The Course in Miracles answers this question. That's in the clarification of terms, or is it Manual for Teachers?
Or doesn't
for teachers.
It says some great stuff in there. You know, many great things are said about that. But one of the sentences that says in there is, look, take it or leave it, okay? It says the most important part of this discussion is that you realize that birth is not the beginning and death is not the end. Now, whether you want to come back as a body from a body before you want to make that part of your dream, it's just fine. He says, anyway, that's such a wonderful section. It's very entertaining to read, very clear, very straightforward.
That's what I wanted to say to Don when he was talking about the body on the street.
Yeah.
The spirit that was flowing through that body is still there.
Yes, yes.
maybe that's what it's communicating, that if I come upon that and I'm with Christ, I'm in Christ,
mm-hmm.
that I don't want to be grandiose here, but you know, like Jesus on the cross, you know, he said the criminals on either side of him, he said, believe in me and you shall rise. And they did. So I'm thinking, well, that's what maybe he means. They didn't live physically. I mean, they died on the cross.
So did he.
And so did he. But so this body that I'm imagining on the street is not going to rise up. But I the presence of Christ, I will, if I'm in the presence of Christ, it will join with the presence of Christ in them.
Yes.
In that body, in that spirit, that soul, if you will, and they will rise. They will rise.
This is a quote. What was never living can never die.
Okay. But also the Course says, you know, you can't do it alone. So right. I guess that's what I'm trying to get at. I'm not trying to be like, I mean, I have had some pretty grandiose ideas about this character, Don, being a savior. Believe me.
Sure.
But I don't want that one.
You know. I know, we caught you trying to walk on water down there by your house a couple of times. You keep trying that.
You sank right down to the pavement.
Yeah, no, we see. We got reports of that.
Anyway, but I have a feeling that that's what we're all have the possibility is to get there and actually let the light shine through us, not just with dead bodies, but with everything. Just like old Leo did in that part.
And today would be a good day to start that.
I think it's true. So
I totally agree. The only better day would be yesterday, and I'll accept tomorrow if that's all you got. But Don, you lead the way. Absolutely 100%.
Okay, I want to let go of Don and just let that happen.
Don is the only thing in the way.
That's right.
You're here. Don, you are here, and Don is in the way.
And Don is in the way.
We have 3 minutes left. I can show you where the Course talks about this simplicity of getting the Holy Spirit to come forward. How do you get the Holy Spirit to come into your life when you need it? How do you turn over the stinking thinking of an Andrew or a Don and have Holy Spirit drive right in that moment when we need him the most? Let's go there with our last 3 minutes. Let's pick it up. It's one of our toolbox items. It's on page 298. Some of you probably heard that coming. We go there all the time. And we'll be back. This is just so clear. I mean, there's not a lot of interpretation allowed here, right? It's just so straightforward. And it reminds me of the page 660 that we read earlier, too. So kind of is a nice way to close the meeting. I'll take us through it. Top of the page, on page 298. In the previous page, talks about you letting go of being your own teacher. He says, you've been badly taught. It's like going to court and having yourself as a lawyer. You've got a horrible lawyer. You've been a horrible teacher to yourself, because the ego also draws the same logical circle of mind that I keep talking about. The ego's got its circle, chases its own tail. So of course says, wake up. Admit you do not know. See, I do not know. Four of the most spiritually inviting words your mouth can speak. I heard Mark say it in the very beginning of the meeting. We asked him. We said, hey, you did this I am meditation enough times. What'd you get? Why don't you help us along this path? And Mark said, I don't know. It's nothing. It's nothing you can speak of. It's very spiritual. It's on the spiritual path because it goes to the invisible. Here it comes. I do not know what anything, including this tough situation I'm in, where I wish the Holy Spirit would take over. I didn't know what this means. And so I do not know how to respond to this difficult situation or this person or this bind that I find myself in. I don't know how because I don't actually know what it means. It takes a lot of honesty there. And I will not use my own little Andrew's, little Don's past learning as the light should be in quotes, the light to guide me now from my own past learning. Oh my God, that was darkness. It's misinterpreted. Now here comes the meat, okay? That's the prayer that you can wake up, stop and reset. But here comes Jesus. By this refusal to attempt to teach yourself what you do not know. The capital G guide whom God has given you, then, only then, will speak to you. So there is what comes, and there's how to get it to come. There is help, and here's how, practically, simply, and how to get it. He, capital H in this case even, he will take his rightful place in your awareness. When will the Holy Spirit come to help me in these difficult times, in decision times, or when I feel really fearful or really guilty or ugly or what have you? When? Well, here it comes. The instant you abandon it and offer it to him.
It is
the Holy Spirit.
The steering wheel.
You need to
offer the steering wheel. I do not know what anything means, okay? That's it. You offer it up. You think you know what to do, what to say, where to go. You think you already know. I don't need your help, Holy Spirit. I've been here before, and man, am I pissed. I just need to raise my voice. I need to swear a little bit. I need to get my truth across with a louder voice than anybody else, and then they'll get it. Well, you got to give it up that you know. You don't know. And now you're available to know. Now you're available to have your Holy Spirit in you drive. That's hard though. You know, when your steam is up and your face is red and you feel like you've been insulted one more, you just can't take it anymore. This is a really good time to step back and let Him lead the way. This is how you call in the Holy Spirit.
That instant for me is when I'm feeling bad about something.
Yes.
That I know I need to give it up.
Because you're going to grind yourself down and go into a dark hole, and then you'll pull the top over behind you. And good God, you might even go to sleep that way. That would be a very sad day. Much better to invite the light to come. This is what we're doing.
Even when I try to go to sleep and I can't go to sleep, I say, okay, Holy Spirit, help me. I don't know what's going on here. My thoughts won't quit.
Yes, let the light, turn on the light and the warm light within. Think about the forgotten song for a moment and you will go gently to sleep. Move yourself to the I Am and you will go gently to sleep with a loving embrace of the angels that Don talked about. That's what they are. Thoughts of love.
And if
thank you, everybody.
On your
thank you. Steps,
you may be Speaker of the House.
Thank you. I think tonight.
You're welcome. Happy New Year. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for studying A Course in Miracles with me. Yes. Let's do it again next week.